Beyom Dakech, we're going to begin a new maimer. Chassidus Lamaisa. The maimer on Taivas, page Kuf Samach Vav. Of course, that's a scary word. It has a very, very... It's picked up a very negative connotation, obviously. It's most often used in our education and things we've heard and things we've learned usually in a negative context. Taivas, desire. But in the Chassidus farm, it's very clear that the biggest taiva of all, the biggest desire of all, and the taiva of all taivas, and the shorish of all taivas, the root of all desire, is nisav HaKadosh Baruch Hu lios leis baruch dir b'sachtonim, is the taiva of Hashem. The taiva of Hashem is to be with us in this world. It's the shorish of all taivas. The taivas of human beings that conflict with that taiva of Hashem is where we have problems, we have aggravation. When there's a clash between Hashem's taiva and the taiva of a human being. Taiva itself is a gewaldige thing. The Sa'ava Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem's taiva. And with everything in life, Ahava's love is the most beautiful word. Love isn't a dirty word. Love is a beautiful word. But that's only if the love that a human being feels is aligned with the Ahav of Hashem. It's the same thing. So our Avayda in the world of Taivas is not to eliminate Taiva, Chas v'Shalom. To eliminate taiva, just as what would the world be if ahava was eliminated, if love was eliminated, if there wouldn't be love in the world. Our avayda is to align our taivas with Hashem's taiva. That the greatest taiva of a human being, of a Jew, should be nisava. That taiva, to draw the Shechina into the Tachtonim, into this world. When the taivas of a person and the taiva of Hashem are not coordinated, that's where we have all of the problems. But it's not that Chalila taiva itself is a problem. So let's begin the introduction. Echad mehanes yohenes hayoyse gedoylem sheyesh l'odem hema taivas. Of course, one of the greatest nisyonis that a person has a taivas. Taivas is a very strong feeling. Desire is a strong thing. The Torah has instructed us to be strong to overcome all of those taivas that are not Hashem's taiva. El gam b'taivas hamutaros mitzad halacha nitzavin lifreish mashavshei. That in order for this alignment of taiva to take place, even things that are permitted have to be restrained. So even eating things that are permitted to eat, and other areas where there are strong taivas, other areas of life, that it needs to be with restraint and control. Kedachsiv kedoshim tiyun, as everybody knows, that's the mitzvah of kedoshim tiyun. Kadesh atzem chavamutlucham. It means even the things that are permitted. One doesn't run away with taiva. V'ni be'emes, ha-taivas hem nisayin kasha. Of course, taivas are a very difficult nisayin. Ki ha-tzorach betanug v'chiyus hu gor ma'oid. Because the human need to experience pleasure and chiyus, excitement, chiyus, to feel alive, hu gor ma'oid, is very, very great. Especially those neshamas. We spoke a lot about the neshamas of Tohu, the neshamas of the end of time. In particular, so many of the neshamas are filled with this powerful need to have tanug and chiyus. Not all people are like that. Not all souls have that, are driven to and need so desperately to feel chiyus and taiva. tanug, pleasure. The emphasis is that the whole Yontif of Chanukah is the tikkun of this inyan. If there were more time to talk about it, maybe in a separate shiur. But the whole inyan of Chanukah is this avoida. And like a shehem margishim, shelem shum chiyas acheres. And therefore, these people who are powerful taivas and have a tremendous need for einik, for tanik, for pleasure, for enjoyment, for pleasure, for chiyas, if they don't. If they don't feel that chias in their lives, if they don't feel that they're getting that pleasure, and if they feel that their lives are dry and empty, yesh la mishicha chazaka l'taivus, then they are obviously open game and very easily drawn into other taivus, into taivus that are not Hashem's taiva. Into taivas that are against the Torah, or even taivas for things that are permitted, but overindulging, the eating and the inyan of a wife and v'chule, just not a life of kedusha, a life that's not holy, even with things that are mutter, l'umaze. A klal that we know, the more difficult something is, the more choshev it is. That's with everything in life. The more difficult, the greater the challenge, the means something great. Because here we're talking about Hashem's taiva. It's something very great. Taiva, chias, warmth, passion. These are very great things. Nichbad yoyse. And his kadshus, kedusha, is something, is hadav shakol oimer alav. Shakol oimer alav. Kiraka ide kedusha, which is only through kedusha, ha'adam zoichel advekus emes b'Hashem esbar. It's only through kedusha can a person experience that tremendous taiva, fasha, dvekus. Is an experience of a person having a taiva for Hashem. Just as Hashem kivyachal has a taiva for us, it's an inyan of a taiva gashbaruch. And for all things of Kedusha. L'kinyin ha-Torah. L'kinyin ha-Torah kedosh ha-Bemes. And a taiva for Torah. A taiva for tefil. Not just to daven and to learn. But a taiva. There are tzaddikim. The head of the Rapshit says, Schus Yilayim. The Sar Shalom from Bel, Schus Yilayim. There are tzaddikim that they daven very, very quickly. There are some tzaddikim that they daven very, very long and very slowly. And there are other tzaddikim that they daven very, very, very quickly. And the Rav Shlomo Zuss Lehenu said that he can't control himself from swallowing the words. He has such a taiva for the words of tefillah that we don't even understand what that means. It's not the same when we daven quickly. That's the taiva to be finished with it. His taiva was that he couldn't control himself from eating the words. Those tzaddikim that daven very, very slowly, they couldn't let go of it, that word. They would munch on it and savor it slowly, ashrei, for a long time. They would just. And the other tzaddikim, like the Sar Shalom and the Rav Shitzer, they were like stuffing themselves. To master what that means. To daven a certain way and to feel that every word and learning that a taiva, to So, obviously, the Avoda is not eliminating Chalila, this Inyan of Taiva. There wouldn't be a world. There would be no Tachlis. It's like everything else with all of the other Midas. It's an Avoda of refinement, of direction, control, refinement. V'luchyos chai tanug emes, that a person should have a life of true tanug, of a tanug, of a desire for the truth, and true desire, to desire kedusha, to desire all that is good and all that is right. And that's why you look at the first note, Reish Ayin. Nirbeni kol echad tzarech l'shtadol l'samit sh'loi l'agi l'matzav she'en lo chiyus mishum dover. The tachlis is not, as some of us got the impression when we were growing up, the tachlis is not to have any pleasure. That's not the tachlis, not to have pleasure, or not to have chiyus. It's not the tachlis, to be lifeless, to be without chiyus, without, it's not the tachlis. The tachlis is for ourselves and our children, our students, and so on. An or, a light of sipuk, of satisfaction. But the satisfaction and the pleasure of life should be for things that are holy. When we leave it at Torah Lishma, that's the beginning of Mesil Sashar. That the tachlis is to feel pleasure and to want and to have desire. It should be for Kirvus Elokim, for closeness to Hashem. Om the Madain ain't of Madregazu. The problem, of course, is when a person is not on this level, or even if he is a person on a higher level, but there are times in his life also that he's not there. As it is with all layers of avoda, then the person has to work through a time of loylishma, of how should he. Conduct himself, how should he behave, how should he think and feel when he's not filled with this desire for learning in davening, when he's not filled with the desire to gobble up, you know, the words of davening, he's just wants to gobble up some more food. Like, how do you behave? What do? So there are many aces of how one who is not on this exalted level, like the Rapshus or the Belzer Rebbe, who are not on this exalted level, even if it's Shaloy Lishma, but that they should have, Lamashal, from their learning, they should have tremendous pleasure from their learning. Rav Dessler, Zeichet Sadevikos Lefrocha, said that it's an unbelievable hashgacha how at the end of time Hashem has brought into the world such tzaddikim like Rav Chaim Brisker and Rav Shimon Shkop. Now that's the said because even, he said, because of these tzaddikim, the learning is so pleasurable, it's so exciting. Rav Chaim Brisker, the Torah is so exciting. And intellectually, it's so thrilling. And Rav Dessler said, because if not for them, people wouldn't be learning at all. They wouldn't learn. Look at all the things that have to be done in order for the people to learn the Daf Yomi. And how brilliant the Takana of the Daf Yomi was, the Rav Meir Shapir Zecher Tzadik Levracha. How brilliant the Takana of Daf Yomi is. How it uses all of the Shaloi Lishma of a person to get him to sit down and to learn a little bit, right? Being in MetLife, you know, being proud of a certain that accomplishment. And then all the accoutrements that nowadays, because of technology and everything that it picks, like it's so shalolishma that there's so much lolishma that's woven into it. So if Dessler was saying that if we wouldn't have a geschmack like we got from Reb Chaim or from Reb Shimon, if we wouldn't have a geschmack, then this is people wouldn't open up a Gemara. And on a different level, there wouldn't be the geschmack of the whole Indian of the daf yomi, and you have this kind of daf and that kind of daf, and all that. Then they have now people that they're giving the daf with all kinds of entertainment, and soon they're going to be like, there's going to be, you know, like the before the daf starts, there'll be a comedian, you know, and then now, and then you get to the daf. There's all kinds of shtick, and. I'm not making fun of what he's saying is that because there's such a need for chiyus, there's such a need for einik, for pleasure, that if you don't capitalize on that need in a way of kedusha, so if that's what he's saying, people are not going to learn. Every Beis HaMedrash has the Chazon Ish. Every yeshiva has the Chazon Ish on the shelf. Go open up the Chazon Ish Svarim in the typical Beis HaMedrash and see how much dust you can blow up off of them. And people will be angry at me in B'nai Brak for saying that. I'm not talking about in particular about the Midrash from B'nai Brak, but he was the Marid Asra in B'nai Brak. And Chazon Ish is Svarim of the deepest, most amazing Svarim. But they're really hard. You don't get, when you open up, same thing with Rav Moshe's, I'm not talking about the Igros Moshe, where everybody, I'm talking about the Dibros Moshe on Shas, where Rav Moshe has a mahalach in learning that's 40 pages long. In learning, in a sugya, and you lose your mind after three or four columns, you can't keep up with it. It's just, it's hard to enjoy. Not because it's not enjoyable, but we're just not on that madrega. The Chazon Ish is far. My father, Zichron Levracha, told me that in Hungary, every Gemara they learned with Rashi, Tosis, and the Mahasha. Who learns the Mahasha? Show me yeshiva where they learn the Mahasha. You know why? It's really hard. It's not only that it's really hard. You have to know the blot inside out. You have to know Tosis inside out to be able to learn Mahasha. And when you learn the Mahasha in that matzav of knowing the blot inside out, but why isn't the Maharsha one of the best sellers of 2022? Go to the yeshiva, see when the yeshiva that the Rebbe gives or the Rashi gives, how many times the Maharsha is ever mentioned in a shiur, or the Chazon Ish is mentioned. They might mention that the Chazon Ish paskened a certain way, that everybody talks about. Everybody just gets to the psak, what did the Chazon Ish pasken? But to learn through the Chazon Ish, you know why? Is so hard. It's so difficult. You don't have these like flashes of an easy and clear, exciting, you know, like vart in learning. The same way that everybody's looking for Torah to have 2 minutes on the, you know, with the internet and to look. To press button and to get, they want to have a tonic. They love it. They want to learn Torah. And if there wouldn't be anything like that nowadays, if there wouldn't be the opportunity for people to have these 3 minute things or whatever, to have what's going on with podcasts, something like that. And it's not that it's bad. They're looking for chiyus, and they're looking for chiyus. And if you can't, but nowadays, if you don't get chiyus within 5 minutes, finish. Chazon Ish, you don't get chiyus in 5 minutes. With Reb Chaim, either. But with Reb Chaim, an intelligent person can open up, and with a Reb Chaim, you can have tremendous excitement and pleasure, or a stipler. You could, within a relatively short time, and you don't necessarily have to be a scholar. And the Rebbe or the Rashi can give a shiur, and it could be a mediocre Talmud, a meeting of sharpness, and he can say, wow, this is unbelievable. This is, and it is. It's beautiful. That's what Rav Dassel was saying, that Hashem sent these tzaddikim to the world to give a geshmak, that even regular Jews can have a geshmak in their learning. Because, you know, which is shaloi lishma, and hopefully the mitar shaloi lishma is bar lishma, but it's not because of tveikus b'tayr, but it's shaloi lishma, and we have to think of all kinds of ways to get this person who's not in the madrega of, because to learn the Maharsha, you have to learn lishma. To learn a chaznisha, to learn one of Ramosha's things, it has to be really, you need a lishma. Because it's not fun. It doesn't satisfy that need to have fun in learning. So the whole chokhmah, a tremendous chokhmah behind the dafyomi and the whole way the dafyomi is being packaged these days is to make it fun. And it sounds terrible, but it's brilliant. And it's a very holy endeavor. Because at the end of time, there's such a taiva. People are such bali taiva. Again, I'm not saying it in the negative, but the taiva is a taiva. And the percentage of lishma is lower and weaker, that if you don't deliver, if that Rebbe doesn't deliver the goods in a couple of minutes, in the shir, the guys are gone. It's not gonna be the popular shir in the yeshiva. It's just not. And therefore, over the past number of years, when you have Rebbeim, like there's that famous story of Yaakov Kamenetsky that I've told many times over, that, you know, Rabbi Yaakov, Zechitzayek Levracha, so his shir was not with all the fancy lamdas. He knew all of it, but his shir was on the blot. Every word in the Gemara, and Rashi, and Taisus, and that's how my Rabbi, Rabbi David Lipschitz, that's how we learned also. Every word. And it wasn't easy. And the story is told, which I confirmed the family is true, that the guys were upset. They didn't want to be in Rabbi Yaakov's shir. And the other shir, there was all kinds of fancy things going on. And the guys were saying over, like, you know, it's supper, they're two dinim, you know. And with Rabbi Yaakov, it was put your finger in the Gemara and plowing through. And I've told you many times a story that's well known, that Rabbi Yaakov one day came in and he gave the shir, like, it was the most exciting, wonderful, fun-filled, thrilling shir of, like, real lamdas. And the bachum was so excited. So one of the bachum came up to the Rebbe and he said, after the shir, he came up to Rabbi Yaakov, he said, Rebbe, I wanted to, about today's shir, and Rabbi Yaakov was saying, no, I'm so sorry. I had a wedding very late last night, I didn't have time to prepare. I'm so sorry, please be mindful. It's one of the most beautiful stories. I didn't have time to prepare. But the guys wanted the other shir. They didn't want this breaking yourself over they wanted the shirs. You had to have, when you have a shir where you only need to have minimal knowledge of what's taking place on the blot, and you can sit there and hear something that blows your mind. That's what nowadays. Minimal work, maximum blown mind. And that's what's going on with all these little 5 minute things, 2 minute things. And it's very hard for the old school. I'm already old school. It's very hard to adjust to that. To adjust to those 2 minute, 3 minute, it's very hard. It's a whole different mahalach. And it's not going to work. It's not. You can't. It has to be something that within 5 minutes, you already. You gave them that pleasure. That's what it is now. The olim has to have the pleasure within 5 minutes. You see it, therefore, when it comes to davening, there's no patience. The davening is, if it's not the davening where there's a chias and the tefillah, if you don't get a chias from Kirvus Elokim, so davening doesn't give any intellectual satisfaction. So then you have to come on to have, you know, like a guy that has a siddur, that has tons of notes around it about all different pshatlach and what does Ashrei mean? There are four different pshatim in Ashrei. And the Svasema said this about Ashrei, and they come out with books about what Ashrei means. But you don't really want to say Ashrei, you just want to understand like something something interesting. This is an interesting Ashrei, wow. Otherwise, davening, so what's going on with davening? As little as possible and as quickly as possible because it's just not enjoyable. And then everybody's talking, how do you make it? I'll accept this question. How do you make davening enjoyable? Yeah, exactly. How does one make davening enjoyable? What is this, supper? That's what it is. How do you make it enjoyable? So everything is now like you're a caterer. There has to be a certain presentation. That's, you see, the daf yomi. Like, the same thing when it comes to food. There has to be a choice. It has to have a certain taste. There has to be a beautiful presentation. Because this guy can relate to food. But when it comes to learning, if it's not going to be like his food, he's not going to do it. So there has to be immediate gratification. He has to feel satisfied right away. So the Magid Shir has to be entertaining, exciting, and have to come up with all different things, the halachas of the daf, the machshavas of the daf, this history of the daf, history that's on the daf, all kinds of, and I'm not putting these things down. They're the same way that Rav Dessler wasn't saying anything, God forbid, negative about Rav Chaim or that learning. These are kunsim, they're chochmas, because when it's not a dveikus to the Torah, then you have to make it as appealing as you can. That's what he's explaining. It has to be appealing. You have to somehow grab onto that taiva that the person has, whether it's intellectual or that feeling that I accomplished something. So then recently it's become, I think I'm not, this is not to make fun, this is chochmas, but recently it's become, so we'll have 50 people, each person will learn one daf, right? And we finished the Gemara. No, you didn't. Even I spoke about that at the Siyam. There is such an Indian and it's all Mustafa. I was trying to make people feel good, that's all. I was using also Chachma. It wasn't, I don't feel that in a deep way, that's Mahalach. But I did say over that there are tzaddikim that say that when the tzibur gets together and they each participate in a Masechta, that the Mishtatif and it becomes... Because there isn't any like that in Avodah, for sure. But that, really, really, you should learn the Masechta yourself. So we have an all-night learning, and they do that with the boys, and they do that, and now they do it with adults. So you'll take some kids and in the school, and we get 100 of the boys in the room, and, or whatever, you get 150 of them, and you give them, like, Masechta Shabbos, and they divide up the Masechta, right? And they come home, and they feel like, I learned Gemara Shabbos. And then, you know, so I play along with that too. But the emes is that the tachlis that a person should learn one blot of Gemara? We should have a night of learning. That's the tachlis, that's what it means to learn Torah, to have a night of learning. The shul learned Masechta Yevamos, the shul finished Shas. All of these things are kunsim, you understand? That's not that they're bad. But it's because there's a taiva. And we have to make it that there should be a taiva. We have to generate a taiva for learning. So people think, look, how can we get people to learn? There's day and night. People think, how do we get kids to learn? How do we get people to learn? How do we make it exciting and interesting? So you play into that shaloi lishman nekud of a person, and he goes home and he says to his wife, tonight we learn Masechta Shabbos. The wife says, wow, that's some accomplishment. I'm so proud of you, Yankee. You learned Masechta Shabbos. It looks like it's a very fat book on the shelf. That's a big one. Yeah, man, we learned Shabbos tonight. In one night? What are you, the rugged shovel? How do you do that? All right, with the guys. We divided it up. Divide and conquer. It's a taiva. To make it into a taiva. So you got that guy to come to shul that night and sit and learn. It's gewaldig. It's not a small thing. You got him to come and learn. Otherwise, he'd be on his device. He'd be on a podcast. The podcast he's able to have in a half hour, he's able to make us see him. On whatever that Indian is, on, you know, on Ben Shapiro or I don't know the names of it. Other people to make us see him on something. Now, almost everybody has a podcast. I'm sure everybody has a podcast going. You make us see him. After half hour, you already finished an Indian. History of the world. When I was growing up, that was Mel Brooks. Now they have history. It was a movie. History of the World podcast. Guaranteed, no more than 15 minutes. History of the world. How do you cover so much material in 15 minutes? Tune in, and you will see. So all the rabbis are sitting around thinking, like when I went with Charlie, we went to Rabbi Levin a few years ago, we were invited to go to give talks, and there's a whole group of young rabbanim coming from around America. We went to a certain organization near Atlanta. There's some beautiful, beautiful place, forest or something. There's this place there, and we were giving some classes. And the question of all of these rabbis is, how do we get the chevra to come to shul? Like, you remember what was going on after Corona? How do we get the people to come to shul? When in history was there ever such a thing? Like, what exactly are we supposed to do? That's different. We're resuming our davening. It's still a problem. Because once the momentum broke, because of COVID, the momentum broke. So then they're still going around. Like, how do we get people to come to shul? What does that mean? The question. How do you get people to come to a shir? It's all the rabbis of the world now are struggling with. For young and for old, how do we get them involved? How do we get them interested in learning? How do we get them excited enough to come to a shiur? So you have to have a catchy title. You have to have a catchy title. That's the beginning, right? There's a shiur. Very important not to have a catchy title. You try doing that for thousands of shiurim over the years. To have a catchy title for this year, without using the word Kabbalah. To have a catchy shiur for a catchy title. The mystery of Hanukkah. What are you supposed to call it? But if you don't have a catchy title, and you don't have some sort of a catchy flyer, a poster, then to begin with, you lost 90% of the item. To begin with, 90% is gone. Then they look at a couple of pictures in the newspaper or on the phone, and this says in it the mystical insights into the holiday of Hanukkah. And says, "Oh, I think I would like to have some mystical insights." It used to be that in order to have mystical insights, that took quite a while until you were able to have some mystical insight, right? Until a Jew could have some mystical insight, there was a lot of davening, a lot of mikvahs, a lot of learning. But now you just look on your phone, and it says that. You know, Thursday night, whatever, at 8 o'clock, on such and such street, on Maple Street, on Main Street, in this neighborhood, Rabbi so and so was giving me a shiur on it's called Mystical Insights of Hanukkah, and then everybody says, I want that. That's exciting. Since when was there ever such an Indian like this? And it's not saying something bad about our generation. It's tremendous Bali Taiva. And you have to satisfy that taiva. And since it's still in a madrega that's very, very far from lishma, how do you satisfy it? All kinds of catchy titles and graphics. And it's becoming crazy with this stuff. What's going on with these podcasts? And I'm not saying, again, that it's bad. With the podcasts and people that have, you know, vetlach online and Torah, whatever, all kinds of websites and it's crazy. If you think about it, it's crazy. What if it happened with just sitting down and opening up a Gemara? Opening up a Sefer? Or just good old Rashi, you know? Chumash Rashi. Could you imagine, like, if Rashi was nowadays, how he'd have to, like, package that? How is he supposed to explain why he's just saying the Pshat? Like, what would Rashi do? Even though we know that in every Rashi, there's all kinds of... So Rashi would have to say, can you imagine? Rashi would have to say... Looks can be deceiving. Come here, Reb Shlomi Yitzchaki, tonight in the main synagogue of Worms. And then he's going to give a shiur, and the Olam's going to sit there like, that's what I came for. I gave up the football game to hear that. That's why I gave up the football game, to hear that. The Rashi says I only need some pshuta shemikra. I'm only interested in pshat. That's what I gave up my football game to hear pshat. Rabbi, maybe you have some mystical insights into the parish. Parish has told us, Eilu told us Yaakov, and if you especially look at Rashi at the beginning, Yaakov and Esav, whom are Parish? So Rashi will have to say, no, there's a lot going on over here, but I'm not telling it to you. You have to work it out. I'm just going to give you a couple of words, you guys work it out. Come on. I don't have time for this. You want to tell me, Rashi, please, Rabbi, tell me, what's the mystical meaning of the pasuk? Because I don't know what you're talking about here, just saying, I could also make a pshat like that. I could also give a shiur like Rashi, right? I could also be Rashi. What you did, I could also do. For that, I have to give up my Thursday night, because of such a pshat. Can you imagine what would be Rashi nowadays? Rashi would have to have a podcast? Like it used to be, what do they say, W-I-N-A, give us 10 minutes? I don't know if it's not, we'll give you the world. I don't remember who's. So Rashi would have to come up with a catchy thing? But that's exactly the time that we're living in. And it's not because of the katness of the dar. That's what, like we were talking about in the shiur the other night. It's not because of katness. It's because there's such a need for chiyus. A tremendous need for chiyus. So every rabbi in yeshiva, every single rabbi, if you're teaching kids, you have to come up with something like that to keep them going. Somebody sent me yesterday. Somebody sent me this. I thought it was a brilliant thing. There's a teacher, there's a woman, not Jewish, it's just a teacher. And you don't see her, but she's giving a class to little kids. And she takes out a piece of paper. Listen to the chokhmah of this. She takes out a nice, clean piece of paper and shows the children. And she says, say terrible things to this piece of paper. Tell this piece of paper, I hate you, you're stupid, you're ugly. Yell out whatever you... And all the little kids are yelling, I hate you, you're ugly. And every time the kid yells out, she takes the paper and she crumples it. She's crumpling, the teacher is crumpling it. Crumpling, crumpling, crumpling. And then she says to the children, and now apologize to the paper. And say, you're sorry. You feel bad. You shouldn't have said that. She goes, I'm sorry, paper. You know, you only hear the kids. I'm sorry. I won't do that again, paper. And then she uncrumples it. And she shows the children that it's got lots of... It's not the way that it used to be. How creased it is and how, right? Messed up it is. Even though she unfolded it. And the teacher said, when you say things to people, it hurts them. And even if you take it back, they're not the same. Is that gewaldig? Wow. It's gewaldig. Such an einfall that she had, this lady. Maybe she heard it somewhere, but it's an einfall. It's a chash of a thing. You make an impact like that on kids to show them that you creased this person up badly. You know, it doesn't just become new. It hurts and stays there. You can smooth it over, smooth it out, but it's got a lot of creases. All of us are creased from the stuff that we've gotten or we've heard. It doesn't become... Shuvah means somehow to make it smooth again, but that's hard. But you see, such a thing, she's able to give that over to kids. She must be a great teacher, this lady. And her students are very fortunate. The kids are very fortunate to have such a teacher, these kids. To use her imagination to bring them around. But that's what it is now. That's Vahayinu Shetzarich Lumod Bofen Shiyelo Sipuk. Therefore, the learning has to be in a way, the teaching has to be in a way where the student has Sipuk, feels his taiva is being satisfied. You have to satisfy the student's taiva. Kugon Ha'ideh Hespekim, V'sikumim, V'chidushim. So how do you make the learning exciting? So nowadays, you tell all the Talmidim in the yeshiva, it's important to make sikumim, you know, to make summaries of what you learned, to make charts, that you have to be machadish. You tell some kid in yeshiva, he doesn't understand Tosis, and you're telling him already that he needs to come up with some chiddush in his learning. He doesn't understand Tosis, what kind of chiddush? But that's what's going on now. In order that he should feel a sipuk. That he said a chiddush. And the Rebbe said, wow, that was great. And he feels a sipuk, he feels satisfied. He feels that his desire was satisfied. And that generates more desire. Ashar mechayivim, or other things that a person has to do, that like the daf yomi, to have a mechayiv. The mechayiv is, have to learn a daf a day. There has to be mechayiv, something that's mechayiv him, something that keeps him going. He has to have that mechayiv. What's the matter with just the rutzen to learn Torah? Why do you have to have a mechayiv? Why do you have to have a daf yomi calendar and your phone and all that? And then it automatically rings that it's, what daf it's up to. And why do you have to have all that stuff? Don't you want to learn? The answer is, no, not really. I have bigger taivas than that. So therefore, we have to try to make this a big taiva too. A big mechayiv, also something to get you going. Vafilu or chitzoni. Even if it's something which is a chitzoniistic thing, all this stuff is chitzonius. A teacher taking a piece of paper and crumpling it. That's how you teach? Throughout all of history, people are doing such things? There wasn't such a need for them. But nowadays, she's brilliant. You have to do that. She's thinking of ways of getting the kids engaged and interested. And to make a point. Kamo kesef al limud. So then you have to give all kinds of prizes. The Torah is expensive now. Because you have to give all kinds of prizes. All the people that say that they want to learn say, okay, so you see if you could somehow manage a life without, we're not paying you a penny. Just try to do it the way that the Rishonim did. Yeah, but how am I going to afford my car? Well, you're not going to have a car, you're going to have to walk. But how am I going to be able to make Pesach? No. Figure it out. No cash, no rewards. Totally lishma. Can you imagine if that would happen? What if, God forbid, chas v'chalila, tomorrow, there'd be this, across the board, no one's getting paid to learn Torah anymore. It's all done. What would happen to learning? Chas v'chalila. It's unimaginable. What would happen? Would there be the diehards? Yes, there would be. But what would the percentage of diehards be? In other words, that no matter what, a husband, a wife, how to manage, what to do, which nowadays is almost impossible because of the matzah of our neighborhoods and expenses. But if chas v'shalom such a thing would happen, who would be able to learn? But you know that if the Rambam is panasa, as a doctor, would have been taken away from him, he wouldn't have stopped learning, that. It wouldn't have had the slightest effect. The Rambam would have had more time to learn, instead of having to be hacking with the kings and princes who don't feel well. The Rambam wouldn't have changed the Rambam's learning. He would have had more time to learn. But if, God forbid, now, if there wouldn't be any money, and to be able to keep up that learning, but to learn with chiyus and with simcha, don't have a parnasa, if the money would be taken away. And even now, for many of the people, again, the money they're getting is not great, and so it's still with mesiras nefesh, and we admire all those who are learning, because they're not getting a lot of money, and it's with mesiras nefesh, and it's still very, very, very beautiful. It's very, very beautiful. It's not like anybody's getting rich from that. So we admire all of the people who are learning Torah these days. All who are learning Torah, we admire them and we love them. And they're holding up the whole universe. It's 100% true. I believe that. 1,000,000%. But if God forbid, there wouldn't be a penny to be given, how would people be able to? What would people do? So there needs to be nowadays also more physical rewards. When the Rambam spoke back then, speaking about the Rambam, when the Rambam spoke about how at the beginning of one's learning, we have to give sweets for the children, candies and so on. Candies you can't, that's already, it's not going to work. But the Rambam in his day, to give candies and to give other, incentives. This is a word that's in business, to incentivize. Is that the right way? Uh-huh. That's a word in business. So with Torah, you have to incentivize now that people should learn. The Rambam spoke about it being for children. The Rambam spoke about children. He assumed that adults don't have a need for incentivization when it comes to learning. But for children, you have to give them lollipops. But you don't have to give lollipops for adults now. Of course you do. Lollipops for... We're finishing Yevamos tonight. How much do you have to learn? We have in the shul 1,000 people. Everybody's going to learn a line. Come finish Yevamos. No need for any knowledge of Aramaic or Hebrew. Even English. Or any language. You don't have to be able to hear, think, or see. But you're going to be part of a grand siyum. And we're going to have a huge meal afterwards and dancing. Followed by musical entertainment and a tikkun. What do I have to do? Just one line. And we're going to have music? Yeah, it's a grand scene. We're finishing Yevamos. For one line? Yeah. Come join us. To be followed by Rabbi so-and-so who will give mystical insights into the Masechta. Can you imagine a night like that? And to have the best caterer in town? Wow. That would be the envy of the entire Jewish world. Or the Torah world, they call it. That would be the envy of the Torah world. A night of finishing the Masechta with mystical insights, food, and music. Could you do better than that? Look, it's unbelievable. And all the guys come home and their wives are so proud of them that they finished Yevamos. It's not for the purpose of making fun, it's for the purpose of understanding. This Inyan is such a deep Inyan in our times. A taivas, and how to use that somehow to incentivize. That is to bring the person around. That's an akuda, of course, to use shaloi lishma. The shaloi lishma nowadays is very, very, very strong. Kagona de haspekim b'sikum so kamachin. Yesh lasta the next column in the note. Yesh lasik ben yoni avodas Hashem esbor. Vayvin sheyagi shchiyas v'sipuk. And when it comes to avodas Hashem, that's what we're talking about. You have to. If the person is not in the place of a taiva for Hashem, a true taiva for Dveikus Hashem, then you have to find all kinds of ways that the person should feel chiyus and sipuk in his Yiddishkeit. That his Yiddishkeit should have a chiyus, should be alive, and to be feels that his desires are being satisfied. Me'etzem ha'avayda, or midvarm ha'mislav me'la kolech lefi inyano. Each person according to whatever, so you have the davening, also you have to have more negunim, and you have to have other things in the davening and whatever. You have to have special effects. It's going to come to a time where it's not just going to be for like some special event or hilula. You're going to have to, like a guy who's going to come in for chakras on a Tuesday, and they're going to have like lights. like they're going to have like a pink light flashing on you standing by the stender, and somebody taking a picture of you looking in your siddur like deep in thought, and there'll be a pink light. We're joking about this. Watch and try to remember this 5 years from now. There are going to be lights flashing in the shul. And then they're going to be able to send on the phone something back to your wife and kids, showing you like this, under a blue light in shul. And then you'll come back to shul the next day. You never know when you'll get the light. They switched around. They move it around. But there's nothing like sending that thing on the phone to your friends and family. And then you get all the thumbs up, 250 hits of you looking contemplatively into your siddur, or sitting over the Gemara, like this. and they're going to be lights. And they're going to send it out. And all your friends are going to send you back a thing like that. And you go to shul, you go to the yeshiva, you go to bismedrash the next day, because it's good. You got thumbs up. I'm going back. This is great. When I was a kid, my Rebbe said, I'm stupid. And now my Rebbe said, you're an idiot, you're an Amaritz. And now I get thumbs up from 250 people. This is the, can't get better than that. I'm going back to this place. I'm getting thumbs up all over the place. When I was a kid, everything was thumbs down. And now I'm getting thumbs up. And I'm like, I don't know, I think I may be like Rabbi Kiva Eger or something. I could be. And they tell you, you know, you have the potential to be Rabbi Kiva Eger. But that's what we're living in. It's getting there. I'm joking a little, but it's, I thought it's going to be there. The main thing is not to be bored. Because a person can't be bored. Because if the person is bored with his Yiddish guy, he's going to look for entertainment someplace else. He's going to look for the lights and the thumbs up with different things. That together with things of this world, or else, God forbid, the person is going to get involved. Who knows? Chalila could get involved in all kinds of affairs. Okay, Mr. Shem, we'll continue to remember that we're up to Reish Ayin.